And turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. Jeremiah, chapter 36. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of the Word of God. The importance of the Word of God. And may I say this morning that, you know, the Bible needs to be the foundation for all that we believe. You know, I'm learning that there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that believe a lot of things that are not in the Bible. Or they don't believe a lot of things that the Bible teaches. You know, we're just living in a generation where people are going further and further from the truth and from the Word of God, and just with the influence of society and culture, just our world today, statistics would tell us that a lot of people that are supposed to be Christians believe things that are a very different worldview than what the Bible teaches. And that's a very sad thing. This message was not specifically planned and geared for this thought, but the Lord has put it on my heart. And I started looking at some things this week and studying some things. And then I found some great research that will share a lot of statistics of what Christians say they believe, what the world believes, what culture believes. And I want to show you what the Bible teaches. Because we need to be people that believe what the Bible teaches. We need to be people that believe what God says, what God's Word says. And it doesn't matter what the world says and what the culture says in the day and age in which we live. Listen, we need to believe what the Bible teaches. We need to believe what God says. And so, I'm not sure when, if it'll be next week or in the coming weeks, but sometime, I want to share with you some message about the war of the worldviews. The war of the worldviews. Not the war of the worlds, but the war of the worldviews. We have two very different worldviews. We've got a biblical worldview and, an anti-biblical worldview very present in our world today. And I want to show you what God says, what the Bible teaches, because we need adults, we need young people who know what God says. People are departing from the faith left and right. People that are supposed to be calling themselves Christians are being duped to believe so many things that the world says this is right and this is wrong. Or many times where the world says it doesn't matter what you think. But God determines what is right and what is wrong. And I want you to be able to see some of those things. Maybe in the coming weeks through the fall some, I'll share some of that with you. But this morning, I just want to share three simple thoughts with you about the importance of God's Word. The importance of the Word of God. Do you know that from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, there has been an attack on the Word of God, on the words of God? Those of you that know the story back even in Genesis, and we're gonna get to Jeremiah here in just a moment. But in the book of Genesis, remember how the serpent, Satan, Lucifer, in the form of the serpent, he comes to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he begins to try to tempt her to eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, yea, hath God said. Hath God said. And I don't know exactly what the serpent's voice was like, but I imagine it as some very deceptive, wily voice, because Satan is a deceiver. And Satan comes in the form of that serpent and he begins to tempt her. Hath God said? He tries to immediately, one of the first things he's doing is trying to get her to question God's words. To question what God said. And we live in a day and age where many people are questioning if this is the Word of God. Well, some people would say, well, it's just a good book. It's just a book that man wrote. No, it's not a book that man wrote. It's a book that God gave to man. It's a book that was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And holy men wrote down not what they wanted to write down, but God moved upon those men. They were inspired by God, and they wrote down what God told them to write down. The book is inspired. It's God-breathed. It's God-given. It's as if God was over the hand of the men that wrote down the Scriptures, and that God was guiding their hand to write down the very words of God that He wanted us to know. The things that He wanted us to know, to understand things of what God has done through history and what is God's plan for the future and what does God want for us as His creation and how can we know about God's love? How can we become God's children? I believe this book is God-given. I believe it's God's Word. So I want to talk to you about the importance of God's Word. Let's pray together. Why don't you ask God to speak to your heart this morning to help you to understand these truths. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we can be in church. Thank You for giving us a place to meet. I'd ask You to speak to us, Lord, as You've laid these three thoughts, these three truths on my heart. Help us, Lord, to really know what is important. Have a confidence that the Bible, the Word of God, is something that we can believe in. It's something we can trust. And then, Lord, help us to build our lives upon it. Help us to share this book, to share Your words with men, because there's a desperate need for truth, absolute truth in our world today. God, speak to us. Give young and old alike both a clear direction in life to understand that the Bible is true. It's the Word of God, and help us to place our confidence in it and to live by it, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The importance of the Word of God. Three truths this morning, very simply. Number one, the Bible is foundational to our faith. The Bible is foundational to our faith. And this is where we're going to get to Jeremiah here. The Bible is foundational to our faith. Jeremiah chapter 36. There has always been attacks on the Bible. There has been attacks on the Word of God. There has been attacks on the Christian faith. Some people criticize it. Some people question it. Some people try to cut it up and to change the Bible, even change the Word of God. Notice an interesting story in Scripture. It's Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 22 to 24. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 22 to 24. The Bible says, "Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that were on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the earth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words." What was happening is that the roll had been brought out. Not the dinner roll, but the Scripture roll. You know, many times the Old Testament Scriptures would have been written on parchments and so on. And here it was that the Word of God, the roll, the parchment of Scriptures, was being read. And when the king was hearing the Scriptures being read, rather than being convicted by the Word of God and saying, we've got to repent, we've got to get right, we've got to change some things about our kingdom, we've got to change some things about the way our nation is living and the people of Israel are living, rather than repenting over the Scriptures and what they were reading, being convicted and cut to the heart by the Word of God, they were instead taking out a knife and cutting up the Word of God. They were taking out a knife and they were cutting out portions of the roll that they did not like, and they were casting it into the fire. This is a sad and tragic story in the Bible where they're reading the Scriptures, they're reading the words of God, and they're deciding, oh, I don't like it. I don't want to listen to that part. And so they cut it up and they throw it into the fire. You know what? You hopefully have never literally done the same thing, but sometimes people do the same thing by their actions. Maybe we have the Scriptures and we hear something preached to us, or maybe we read the Scriptures in our home and we read something that it says and we decide, oh, I don't really like that part. And so rather than being convicted by what God says maybe is right and something we ought to do, or being convicted about something that God says this is not right, my holiness does not allow this, we decide, I'm going to cut that part out. I want nothing to do with that. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to listen to that. And sadly, we may do the same thing sometimes by our actions. May I say, we have no right to determine which parts of God's Word we like and don't like, which parts of God's Word we want to apply to our life and don't want to apply to our life, Oh, we all like the part of God's gift of salvation. We all like the part of there being a heaven. We all like the part of eternal life. But listen, all of the Bible is God's word to us. And God teaches us about His holiness. And God teaches us how we ought to live and as believers and as children of God. God teaches that He has a purpose for our life. We're to learn that and study God's Word. You know, the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We're to study God's Word and read God's Word and meditate on God's Word. And we're to learn and know what it says. Why? So that when we stand before God one day, we won't be ashamed. We won't be ashamed. Sadly, people have plotted, and I believe Satan's been behind it, to do even more to the Word of God. To cut it up, to twist it, to change it, to distort it. Do you know that it really wasn't until the last 120 years that there really started to just be this glut of Bible versions being in our world today? It wasn't like that before. Yes, there was Bibles in different languages and so on, but there didn't then have to be this thing of, you know, being 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000, 2,000 Bible versions in the English language for whatever you want today. This isn't a message where I'm going to zero in on that sort of thing and focus it and teach on that. But we believe, our church does believe that God's Word is inspired and preserved. And sadly, there's been great attacks on the Scriptures. And sometime this week, I saw something where it was showing some of the differences between a modern Bible version and the old Bible that we still use today. And it was showing how places in Scriptures where certain words have been left out of verses. Or some cases where entire verses have been left out of the Bible. And if you look and you start to see what are some of those words that are missing, or what are some of those verses that are missing, you understand why they're missing. Because those verses and those words are convicting verses, and they're convicting words, and they're words that proclaim the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're verses that show us our sinfulness and show us our need for God. They're verses that magnify Christ and magnify God's deity, and they make it all about Him. It's sad and tragic that verses that are the words of God, that are the truth of God, have been just cut out by Bible publishers and so on because maybe somebody doesn't like those verses or whatever. Satan's been behind it. Satan's been behind it to try to twist and distort. Just like back in the Garden of Eden when he started questioning God's Word. Listen, we can see that in all many times the perversion, even I can say, of Scriptures with verses left out and verses changed, that it has corrupted many times and changed the words of God. The words of God matter. Look what the Bible says. Look to the very end of Scriptures, Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. We'll just look at a couple verses here and we'll move on. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 18. May I say the Bible is foundational to our faith. That's point number one. And we need to know that we have the Word of God. We don't have just some good book that was written by men. We have the Word of God. We have God's book. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 18 and 19. Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "For I testify unto every a man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, you take that for what it says. Listen, I do not want to be the person that messes with God's Word. I don't want to be the person who cuts up God's Word and says, I think I'll leave that verse out. I think I'll cut some of these words out. We shouldn't mess with God's Word. Don't mess with God's Word. This is His book. God gave us His Word. And this isn't a thorough a thesis on God's Word being preserved and inspired and so on. But may I say the Bible's foundational to our faith. We need to know that we have a book that is the very words of God, that was God-given, God-inspired, and God-preserved. There's been attacks on the Bible, attacks on our faith. People will criticize and question and cut up and try to change the Bible. Listen, that verse tells us in Revelation, we've got no right to try to change or to take out, to change portions of God's Word that we don't like. It's God's words, not man's words. And we should not mess with it. We should not change it. Number one, the Bible is foundational to our faith. Number two, fundamental truths of the Bible need to be repeated over and over again. Fundamental truths, those foundational truths of the Bible, they need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. The fundamental truths are those things that are just, they're core to our doctrine, they're core to what we believe, they're core to our faith as Bible-believing Christians. You cannot change these truths, and these truths should not be changed. And these truths need to be repeated over and over again. They need to be taught. We live in a world where people are becoming more and more biblically illiterate all the time. That's why it's so important. There was a time in North America, probably even more so in the States than in Canada, where you could have taught some things about the gospel and people would have understood some things very simply because they already kind of knew that there's a creator God. They already knew and had heard about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. They knew certain things. And you could maybe come to them with the gospel, come to them with the need to repentance over this living our wicked life, our wayward life, going our own way in life, rejecting God, having no time or place for God in life. And people could bring people to God, bring people to truth, and they understood that. But you talk to a lot of people nowadays, they have no really clue or concept of there being one true God, Jehovah God, who created this universe. You try to talk to some people about Jesus Christ in our world today, and they would have no understanding of Jesus as being the Son of God, the God-man who was born of a virgin, who came down to earth, who died on the cross for our sins. There's a lot of people who don't know these things. There's a lot of people who don't know basic stories of the Bible, when there was a time in history where even Bible stories would have been shared by teachers in the school, but that of course is no longer. Just things have changed so much over the last 100 years in North America. People are more and more biblically illiterate. And listen, fundamental truths of the Bible need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. People need to understand that there's one God. There is one God. And I know it's politically incorrect, but it's not that every man can just worship whatever God they want and it's all probably really one God, they just call him different names. No, there only is one God and he has one name, many names in the Bible, but it's one God, it's Jehovah God, it's the creator of this world. Allah and Jehovah are not the same God. You know, the gods of the nations, the God of different religions of this world, are not the same as the God of the Bible. There is one true and living God. One God who hears and answers prayer. People make their statues and their idols and they pray to them, but those statues do what? They have ears, but they never hear, eyes, but they never see. But the God of heaven, our Creator God, He hears us when we pray. He sees us. He loves us. He cares for us. There's one true and living God. We have to preach and teach and repeat over and over again the truth of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And though it's beyond man's comprehension or understanding sometimes, there is one God yet in three distinct personalities. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, He didn't just come into existence back in Bethlehem. He existed from eternity past. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Jesus Christ was there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be. Listen, God is referred to as the Word. We see even God the Word, God the Son. We see God the Holy Spirit. We see God the Father, all having a part in creation. What does it say as it goes on to Genesis 1:26? And God said, let us, plural, the Trinity. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Fundamental truths of the Bible need to be repeated over and over again. The deity of Christ. Jesus was not just a man. He is God. He was the Son of God. He was God the Son. He is God. He's equal with God. The gospel. Hey, it needs to be repeated over and over again. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the only way for a person to get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4 tells us that's wherein. That's the way that you're saved. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't just go to the cross and hang on the cross for us. He died and He was buried, and 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose. This truth needs to be repeated over and over and over and over again. The gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Listen, if Jesus Christ did not have the power to rise from the grave, then there'd be no power to resurrect us. But the fact that Jesus Christ did rise from the grave, that Jesus did rise from the dead, that proves the power of God. It proves that our faith is real. The second coming of Christ is a truth that needs to be repeated over and over and over again. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back for His own. He's coming back for those that are saved. When He ascended after His first coming, after His death and burial and resurrection and so on, when He ascended, before He ascended, it says in Acts chapter 1, the angels there speaking to the disciples when they're just gazing up into the sky. And the angel says to them, Why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus shall so come again in like manner, I'm not quoting exactly right, as you've seen Him go into the clouds. Listen, He's coming back. He's coming back. John chapter 14, when Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. If I go away, I will come again. He's coming back again. And the truth of the second coming needs to be repeated over and over and over again. What about this one? Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way of salvation. We cannot be saved by our good works. We cannot be saved just by being religious. We cannot be saved just by going to church. There's no other way of salvation except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're only saved by God's grace and mercy, that He's willing to forgive us of our sin and pardon us of our sin, to bring us into His family, to adopt us into the family of God. It's only through the Spirit of God that we're born again. Listen, it's amazing to me how so many people have no understanding of what it means to be born again. And that's why there's so many religious people that need to be saved, because they know that they've heard about Jesus. They know He died on the cross. They know they're sinners, but they've never been born again. Because maybe they've been taught some things that made them trust in religion rather than trusting in Christ alone. People need to understand the doctrines of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. They need to know what it means to be born again. What about holiness unto the Lord? People need to understand that God teaches us to live a holy life in the book of Titus in the New Testament. Titus chapter number 2, if you've got a Bible, you can look there with me. Titus chapter number 2. If I can find it, teaching us. Well, let's start in verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation. There it is in 10, right? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Here's the second coming again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Listen, the truth of holiness unto the Lord needs to be repeated over and over again. The Bible says, be holy even as I am holy. We have a God who wants us to be holy. We have a God who wants us to live a godly life. He wants us to come out from the world and be separate. He wants us to live a life that people will think is peculiar. We're to be different from the world. We're to be Christ-like. It's a truth that needs to be repeated over and over again. Sadly, it's true, but many times the church is becoming more like the world than the world is becoming like the church. Many times the world is infiltrating churches and infiltrating Christians' lives more than Christians are changing the world, and that ought not to be. It ought to be the other way around, that we're changing the world, that we're reaching the world. The truths of Scriptures need to be repeated over and over again. but a consecration to Christ and separation from the world. God wants us to be wholehearted in our consecration to the Lord Jesus. God wants us to be separate from the world. God wants us to be living lives that are set apart unto the Lord, that we belong to Him. It's a great song that I've sung sometimes in our church. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Hey, but do you remember that we belong to Jesus? I'm glad Jesus belongs to me, but do we remember sometimes, or do we forget sometimes, that I belong to Jesus and I'm to live for Him? You're to live for Him. Our lives are to be consecrated unto the Lord God. Listen, the truths of Scriptures need to be repeated over and over again. What about the missionary call? What about the Great Commission? What about the need for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? What about Matthew chapter 28? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, what about the cry for laborers? Jesus telling us in Matthew chapter 9 to pray for laborers. Pray unto the Lord of the harvest. Pray for laborers. What about that great missionary call that was heralded forth, that was preached forth in generations past, and people would gladly send their children, people would gladly go to spread the gospel around the world, that missionary call that is not being spoken so much anymore. It's not being thought of so much anymore. It's not being encouraged so much anymore by parents. People become more self-focused and self-centered in life, consumed with making money and so on, rather than pursuing the call of God. Listen, hey, fundamental truths of the Bible, they need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. I said, number one, the Bible is foundational to our faith. Number two, fundamental truths of the Bible, they need to be repeated over and over again. Number three, Christians' lives need to be rooted in the Bible. Christians' lives need to be rooted. R-O-O-T-E-D, rooted. Like you plant something in the ground and those roots grow in the ground to give it stability and strength. Listen, you can't plant something in the ground and constantly dig it up and move it from here to here to here to here to here and expect it to grow. You've got to plant something and leave it there, and you've got to water it, and it needs sunshine and so on if it's going to grow. Well, as Christians, we need to have our lives rooted in the words of God, rooted in the Bible. We need young people whose lives are rooted in the Word of God, parents, adults whose lives are rooted in the Bible. Number three, Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible. Let me share a few things here. No Bible equals no growth. No Bible equals no growth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not going to be growing in grace. You're not going to be growing in the Lord if you don't get in the Bible, if you don't get in the Word of God. Remember, I said this morning that the Bible is foundational to our faith. Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible, rooted in the Word of God. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, we won't grow as a Christian. We won't grow as we should. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We need to become some Christian babies that hunger and thirst after the Word of God. And then we need to mature a little bit. Don't remain a baby, but then hunger for the meat of the Word of God. That we want to get our teeth into it. We want to chew on it. We want to be fed the Scriptures. We want to hear the Scriptures taught. We want to read and study the Scriptures for ourselves. We need a hunger for the Word of God. We need a thirst for the Word of God. If Christians are going to be rooted in the Bible, if Christians are going to be growing in the Word of God, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, growing in grace, we've got to get in the Bible. No Bible equals no growth. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. No Bible equals instability. No Bible means we'll be unstable. We'll be unstable. Remember, I said we need to be rooted in the Bible. And our roots need to grow deep in the Word of God so that winds of false doctrine don't blow us astray. Winds of false teaching on YouTube don't deceive us and lead us astray. Murmurers and whisperers and end time false prophets and so on, they don't turn us away from the truth or from the Word of God. No Bible means we'll be unstable. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 15. Look what it says there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting the maturing and growing and so on of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that's a mature man, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means we're growing up. That means if you were to measure us, we're becoming more Christ-like. We're growing up in Christ. The end of verse 13. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Don't just remain a child in Christ, a baby in Christ. We need to grow. It says that we henceforth, that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even the Christ. Listen, it's important that we get rooted in the Bible and rooted in the Word of God. We want our roots to grow deep in the truth so that we know what is right and we know what is wrong and we're not easily deceived and we're not led astray. But listen, no Bible means we'll be unstable. No Bible means we won't have roots that are strong in the truth and the Word of God and not being led astray, not being blown away by false things in the day in which we live. Just a few pages to the right, you'll find Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Listen, He says you need to be rooted. You need to be rooted in the Word of God. Listen, no Bible means we'll be unstable. We've got to get in the Word of God. We need preaching and teaching of God's Word. We don't need less of it. We need more of it. We need to read our Bible more. We need to study and meditate on God's Word. We need to get in the Word of God so that our roots can grow strong, so that we'll be stable, well-grounded, we'll be established in the truth. Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible. No Bible means no growth. No Bible means we'll be unstable. No Bible means no fruit. No fruitfulness in our Christian life. No Bible equals no fruit. Psalm chapter 1 in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, if we're going to be productive, if we're going to be fruitful as Christians, we've got to be in the Word of God. We've got to be rooted in the Scriptures, rooted in the Bible, rooted in the truth of God's Word. We'll not be fruitful Christians. No Bible means no growth. No Bible means we'll be unstable. No Bible means no fruit. No Bible means no conviction. No conviction. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible's foundational to our faith. The fundamental truths of the Bible need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. You say, Pastor, I heard that before. That's fine, you need to hear it again. We need to hear it again. We need to repeat it over and over again. Number 3, Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible. No Bible means no growth. No Bible means unstable. No Bible means no fruit. No Bible means no conviction. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12 says this, for the Word of God is quick
It means that it's alive. This is an alive book, a living book. It's a powerful book. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, this book can be a convicting book. This book can convict us about right and wrong. This book can convict us about righteousness. This book can convict us of the truth. This book can convict us of what God wants in our lives. And we need that. We need that. No Bible means no conviction. No conviction. I think if there's a lack of conviction in people's lives today, it's because really so few people are reading and studying the Scriptures. Or so few people are hearing the words of God with an ear of faith and a mind of faith and a heart of faith to really want to hear what it says and want to know what it says. You know, we talk about being doers of the Word. Let's look there, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, just a few pages to the right. We talk about being doers of the Word, and yes, we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. But sometimes people are not even hearers. You never come to church, you never hear God's Word preached or taught. Never go to Bible study, you're not hearing God's Word taught. You never crack your Bible open, you never read your Bible at home. You're not going to be getting God's Word, and you need it. We need to read God's Word, meditate on the Scriptures, study God's Word. How can God's Word do its convicting work in our heart and life if we never open up the precious pages of Scriptures and let God's Word speak to us? Sadly, many times there's no conviction because we don't even get in our Bibles like we should. We're not rooted in the Scriptures. If there's a lack of conviction in people's lives today, in reality, many times it's because so few are even reading and studying the Scriptures. So few are listening and hearing God's Word. Look what the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 16. James chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, do not err. Or maybe some of you say, do not err. But it means, you know, don't go in the way of error. Don't go in the false way. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. Verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But wouldn't it be a blessing today if people would still with an eagerness and with faith and with an expectancy, with a meekness, with a humility, would receive the Word of God into their hearts and lives and say, God, I want to know Your truth. God, I want to know Your way. God, I want to follow You. We've got to have a heart of faith to believe the Scriptures, accept the Scriptures, to obey the Scriptures. Heart of humility and meekness to obey the Scriptures. It goes on in verse number 22 and says this, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What does a glass do? It shows a reflection. They didn't have quite the extent of mirrors that we have nowadays, but for them, glass and polished glass and so on, or polished copper, all kinds of things could show people a reflection. And that's what it's talking about, the reflection. Listen, the Word of God is to show us a reflection of our life. It's to show us what's wrong in our life and what's right in our life and what needs to be changed in our life. The Bible is saying that when we look into the Scriptures, when we look into the Word of God, it's to be like a mirror. We're to see a reflection and we're to see, does our life match up with the Word of God? Does our life line up with what God says He wants for us and how He wants us to live as a Christian? As a child of God. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God,
and continueth therein, continues to follow it, continues to walk therein, continues to obey it, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen, we've got to get in the Scriptures. We've got to get in the Word of God. We've got to have our lives rooted in the Bible, rooted in the Word of God, to be hearers, but also to be doers of God's Word. The importance of the Word of God. It's so important that even back from the Garden of Eden, Satan started attacking God's words, trying to get Eve to question or doubt God's words. And sadly, Satan has succeeded in recent generations of getting a lot of people to doubt. Oh, the Bible, you can't trust it. Oh, the Bible, it's not God's word. Oh, the Bible, it's got this teaching, that teaching, and it'll be criticized, attacked, all kinds of things. It'll be cut up and things taken out and changed because people don't like it. And may I say, it's going to happen more and more in the days to come. More and more because of the culture of the world that we're living in and everything that's going to become politically incorrect with how wicked our culture is becoming. People are going to say, you can't have that in your Bible. There's countries in our world where the Bible is already, you know, not being allowed. If you're going to have a Bible, it's going to be a Bible that's been approved by the government. Listen, let me tell you something. We're living in a wicked world. The Bible is foundational to our faith. Can't cut it up, change it to fit culture or fit what we want. Number two, fundamental truths of the Bible need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. For our sake, for the world's sake, for your children's sake, for Christians' sake, because many Christians, they don't know what's right and wrong. They don't know what to believe. Many times people are being influenced by the culture and the world more than they're being influenced by the Bible. And fundamental truths need to be repeated over and over again. Number three, Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible. So Christian, what are you going to do to spend time in the Bible? How faithful will you be to church and the Bible study so that you learn and hear God's Word? You be a hearer of God's Word. How faithful will you be to choose to spend time in your Bible, to open it up and do some devotions, to open it up and to read and to meditate on the Scriptures? Young people, older people, hey, in a world that is influencing you with colleges and universities and public schools and everything that are trying to influence your thinking, you've got to know what God says is right and wrong. You need to know that there's absolute truth in our world and it's found in the Word of God. Christians' lives must be rooted in the Bible. It must be rooted in the Bible. No Bible, no growth. No Bible, you'll be unstable. No Bible, no fruitfulness. No Bible, no conviction. No Bible, you'll not become a doer of God's Word. We must root our lives in the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to build our lives upon this book and have the confidence that this book is the very words of God. Help us not to listen to a culture or a world that would try to get us to doubt or question the authenticity of the Word of God, but help us to believe that it is true, that it is God's Word. And though man may reject it and people may criticize it, help us to know that it is truth for today. It's still good for today. And Lord, help us to build our lives on this book, to root our lives in the Word of God. This book is our strength. It's our hope, it's our joy, it's our confidence, it's our assurance of the future. It's the promises of God that we have eternal life. Lord God, help us to trust your word, to obey your word, to love your word, to read it, to meditate on it, to study it, to heed it, to obey it in our lives. From the youngest to the oldest, God, help us to build our lives, to root our lives in the Bible. In the Word of God. Please, Lord, help us to have a biblical worldview. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.